This is Katie Hartz with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Helen. Oh, let me take it off the speaker. There we go. Today I've got my friend Helen Williams on the line from World Missionary Press, and we're going to be talking about a couple things today, starting in Liberia. And this tiny country in West Africa is probably most recognized for the Ebola outbreak about 5 to 6 years ago. And I understand that WMP partners with a lot of groups in this country, and the Ebola outbreak actually opened some doors for the gospel. Helen, can you tell me what the group Sharing God's Abundance, you know, what they shared with you recently?
Well, they have been active in Liberia for quite a while, and they do village-to-village work, but they also do some help with wheelchairs and other things like that. So they've been on the ground in this country for quite a while. And when the Ebola situation became so serious, his people, the people that work with Sharing God's Abundance, decided to stay in the villages and help and do all they could. And through that, they gained a lot of credibility, if you will, with many of the other villages that didn't know of them, and with the government officials and the people in authority, and even some of the medical people, because they were willing to stay. One of the things about Sharing God's Abundance is that they have dealt with areas where there is witchcraft, and the tribal authority is, I wouldn't say demonic, but is just kind of a grip on the people, and going into those areas, they haven't been afraid to go into those areas, and or at least they haven't hesitated to go into those areas. That's probably a better way to say it. One of the things that the man that is my contact there, he said that, you know, in this one village they went into, they had a history there of many years ago they buried 6 girls alive as a sacrifice, so to speak, for power and to show their power and who they were. And there were 6 stones, or there were stones that were set up, and for 105 years, they had worshipped and fed rice to these stones, just to show that this is a sign of their power and where these girls were sacrificed. Well, anyway, the group from Sharing God's Abundance went toward that village. And as they came along the trail, there was a snake that had been planted on it. It was a big, deadly snake with fangs and everything. And they say if it's one, if it bites you, you'll not live. So, in other words, they have kind of mined the road to get in. And it was planted there so that this man wouldn't be able to bring the gospel into this area, which was a 2-hour walk from where they lived and with where all this worship was going on. And the snake had been laid over the trail. And so this team, carrying their Bibles, they just stepped over it. They thought it was a tree root. And the snake was just a little, just not very far from this land when it was spotted by one of their members. So the people from the village hurriedly took the snake away alive. And when he got to the village, everybody was stunned that he was still alive. 3 days later, the town chief and the villagers accepted Christ and removed all 6 of the stones that were a memorial for the 6 girls who had been sacrificed. Now the snake is dead. Victory was won over Satan, and God's light will run where the darkness was. And this is what we hear over and over and over again in these regions, that because the gospel goes in and because these people are willing to go and face the enemy right where he is, in his strongholds, that the light is just defeating the darkness and God's having the victory. And these are the people, and at the end of this report, he said, we need another shipment of literature desperately. So they're taking the word in, but I think I am so impressed and so touched by their faithfulness and their willingness to go and face this kind of thing and the Ebola and everything, and that's what God is honoring, plus his word. And this is the kind of people, this is the kind of group that we love working with, because we know that they're not there for their own purposes or to build up anything. They're there for the gospel and for the sake of souls. And so this is just a tremendous place for us. And we have other groups in Liberia, particularly the Every Home for Christ group, and they do a systematic door-to-door coverage, and we offered to send them a shipment, and their leader sent me an email, and she said, this is an answer to prayer. We are desperate for this. And she said, you don't know what this will mean to our teams to be able to go and have somebody to leave at the homes as opposed to just going and talking to them and say, can we pray with you? And having more literature and God's word, the scripture booklets to leave. So those two, and then there's another group, the Word Sower, and that group is just growing. They go into villages, and they kind of focus on the unreached areas. And they've got three unreached tribes yet in Liberia. And in that West Africa region, in these several countries in that area, there are 393 unreached people groups, population of 147 million people. And they've been asked to go into other countries, into Guinea and into northern Nigeria and to Cote d'Ivoire and these other areas where there are these unreached. And their director was just in my office about 2 weeks ago, and he said, you know, we need French New Testaments and we need French material, and as soon as you can get it to us, we're going to all these places that are open. And it's just amazing the work that they're doing and what God is doing through all of these groups separately, each with a different approach, all taking the word, all faithfully going when sometimes it's hard to go. So I am really touched by the work in Liberia that God's doing right now, particularly what that country's been through and what is going on there in terms of whatever the enemy is trying to do to stop things. And we just know that this is a place where the Lord's going to really do a great work.
It's so funny because you answered, it's like God put my next question in your mind because you covered everything that I was about to ask you with my next question. So thank you for that. I wanted to ask you about the need for more materials. You touched briefly on some of the French things, but what exactly are you looking for? Like, what do you guys need, and how will that, I guess, okay, so there's three parts to this question. What do you guys need, how will that help, and what can our listeners and readers do to help you guys get this stuff out the door?
Okay, in practical matters, we have a shipment on the books for Sharing God's Abundance. It's a million pieces in three languages, English, French, and Bassa. And so we need funds for production so that we can get our production up so that we can get this out. We also have an order in-house for the EHC, Every Home for Christ group, and they will receive about the same amount of material in the same languages. And then we have another order in for Word Sower, and one of the things that they desperately need are French New Testaments, and we need specific funding for French New Testaments. We do New Testaments on a limited basis, and we try to do them with a separate budget. So we do them in French, Spanish, Haitian Creole, Persian, Swahili, and Arabic, each for a different kind of a different area. So donations toward French New Testaments for Africa would be much appreciated, and just general for these other production things. Those are the things that we're working on right now for these three groups, and we need to get the material there. They are itching, ready to go. Sharing God's Abundance sent me a letter signed by their directors in 15 counties, thanking us and saying because they were able to do what using the help from above and the way to God and the others, that they've been asked to go into other countries, and they are also going to Cote d'Ivoire and Guinea and Sierra Leone. So we're looking forward to another shipment. They rely on it, and we don't want that fervor to die. Not that they don't care, but having something to work with and having the support and having material and tools keeps the enthusiasm and keeps the passion going. So that's kind of where we are. I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you. And how would you ask people to pray about, I mean, we just talked about how they can give towards that need, but then how can people pray for what we've talked about?
For World Missionary Press, we ask for wisdom how to use the funds that are given to us, that we be faithful in using them for as much for printing. And so it's hard sometimes to have all of these orders on my desk. I have orders for 120 million booklets, and to decide, okay, which ones are we going to print now when everybody needs them right now? So we need wisdom. We need God's direction and how to handle some of these things, and how to plan the production so that we get things out, get them to people. And I think people should be praying for those that are receiving, that these people that are on the ground and are willing to go and are facing the enemy every day and being true to taking the word, that God would protect them, that their faith would be strong, they would be bold, and that the Lord would honor that by bringing many to the kingdom. And so that would be seen. We see in many cases where one village comes to the Lord and there's so much change in that village that others see it and say, this must be real. There's something to this. And so, but they need encouragement. They need protection. And we know that the Lord can do that. And we know that the Lord's already won the battles. We know that he's greater than the enemy. And so I think prayer for those that are receiving these the material and getting it out there. And then prayer for the harvest, that the harvest would come when the reapers go, that there would be a harvest, and that it's not just so that we have something to share. It's so that souls are saved and brought into the kingdom and snatched from the burning, so to speak.
Amen. All right, that wraps up my questions on Liberia. Was there anything else before we move on to the so-called crisis nations?
No, I think if that satisfies you, that's pretty much what I was thinking of. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Okay. So let's switch now and talk about some of these crisis nations or areas of persecution.
Okay.
There was the update. This is from the September newsletter, and it talked about how World Missionary Press sends scripture and literature to places affected by things that actually we at Mission Network News cover in the headlines, the stuff in Venezuela, Sudan, India.
Yeah.
I wanted to start and ask a question about the Sudan update, because that was really interesting to me. Your partner said that part of what he said is that the gospel doors are opening because of the effects of war. Can you kind of bring our listeners up to speed on kind of what you've heard from your partners in Sudan or who are working in Sudan?
Well, from what we hear in Sudan, it is that the trouble is still there. The enemy is still resisting. There are church burnings, bombings. People are dying, tortured. But we also hear reports that the Christians are saying, you can torture me, but if you kill me, I'll just see Jesus. So they are standing strong. And as the one that we quoted, he's saying, you know, you can hear all of this. You'll get negative news about civil unrest, humanitarian crisis, and Sudan's situation is desperate. But what they don't tell you is that there is a hunger for the word, and there is a responsiveness. He talks about in this particular ministry that we work with, and we've sent a lot of literature for, about how people are responding to the gospel. He said that one man, he had been telling the story of Joseph in the marketplace. He goes into a market in the marketplace and starts telling stories and acting them out, and it draws a crowd. And he said, when I was done, one man complained, "Don't you see that we're suffering here?" And I thought he was going to ask me for money, so I stopped and began explaining why there is suffering in the world, etc. And my interpreter said that maybe they wanted me to tell them another story. I began telling the story of Abraham, and he kept talking about that. And then when he got all done, people asked me to pray for them. So I gave them a final gospel appeal, asked that anyone who wanted to talk or wanted prayer could approach me. And there were many of these Muslims that came from all walks of life who happened to come to the market that day and had heard the gospel just because they were in the market that day and came to him later for prayer and for more understanding of the gospel. So in another school, which is almost exclusively Muslim, Bibles opened up the doors for Christianity. Since receiving Bibles, the teachers have now introduced Christian education to the students. They've even employed a Christian teacher This particular school has also requested that the chaplains come more frequently to teach the children the content of the Bibles that they have received. And this is unheard of in what is considered a Muslim stronghold. So in these places, God's just doing miracles in terms of opening doors. And this is another case where this group is going, even though they know that Christians are dying and there is overt persecution. But they're going, and they're going into these villages, and they're finding ways to draw a crowd and to present the word, and open-air preaching, and people stare, listen to the Bible stories, and the opportunity is there. And so you know, that's what we're hearing, and that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing that you know, I don't know how you say it. I guess that God has not forgotten Sudan. He has not decided that it's, you know, and God's people have not forgotten Sudan. And because God's people are faithful to go in, the Spirit is there and the Word is there. And that's what's changing this. And there is a hunger. We hear that in Iran. We hear reports of hundreds of thousands of people coming to Christ in Iran, that they have seen what Islam is, and it does not satisfy, the teachings do not satisfy, and that the doors are open. And we hear this a lot from that region and in other regions there. So it's just in those two cases where there is resistance, or there has been strong resistance, the gospel is still going on. And same thing in India. You know, in India, they tell us, you know, that opposition and struggle, they face it every day. On the other hand, people still want to read the Word of God from the booklets. And the booklets are handed out, and people receive them. They keep them safe in their wallets or their handbags, and they read them. And we cannot fill the request from India. There's still an opening. We had a man here this week from Indiana. He was from the West Bengal area, a pastor over 7,000 little house churches. And he was looking for literature. And he said his people are asking him for something, but he didn't have anything, and he didn't have any money to buy anything. And he heard about World Missionary Press and a supporting church. He was visiting a supporting church here in the States. So he came, and we sat and talked to him on Monday this week. And he was just thrilled. He said, this is exactly what we're looking for. And we asked him about persecution, and he said his area is one that right now is not under that stronghold of the Hindu extremist and the Hindu group that wants to eliminate Christianity. He said, but it's coming. We can feel it coming. So he said, now is the time to really, this is just timely for him and for the 7,000 house churches. They meet in houses and under trees. And there's smaller groups, and just all over that part of India. So it's exciting in one way. I mean, it's sorrowful to see what people are struggling, how they're struggling, and for the great need, and for the enemy's hold on people. And yet, when the gospel goes in, what we see and hear is miraculous. It's God's power being shown, and God's love being shown. And it's through his people and his faithful ones. So, you know, I guess you can tell I get excited about this, because this is what we're here for. We produce these booklets in 348 languages, and we did almost 100 million of them last year and shipped them out, because we know it works. We know God uses it. We know that people are coming to the Savior.
Amen. And that's why I get excited to talk to you, because you guys really are on the front lines. And I wanted to, before we leave the topic of India, we reported recently about changes to the FCRA law or FRCA or whichever one is really restricting the work of missionaries and Christian groups. They said that, like, the people receiving foreign funding, they can't evangelize. They made them sign papers and stuff. So is that latest update to the law, will that affect World Missionary Press's work at all?
I don't think so. We just sent two containers to a ministry that has been under scrutiny and that has about 5,000 evangelists out in the villages. They intend to keep going. however they can, and in whatever way. One of the things I read, I think it was from Voice of the Martyrs, said that in many of these villages there are informants in every village, and if something happens, you know, they know that they could be, literature could be confiscated, Christians could be arrested, churches burned. They understand that. But I don't think, and literature is sometimes almost a clandestine method of sharing the gospel. It can be passed from person to person quietly. It can be available in secret. It can be, and it can hide in the any place and still be available there without the person who initially gave it being in jeopardy, if you will. So literature is sometimes a way in areas where you can't have open public evangelism. Literature comes in as the way to continue distribution of the gospel. I think that there will be areas where it will be probably a problem to get it to them, but I don't think that there's going to be a lessening of their willingness to use it if we can get it to them, if that answers your question.
Awesome. Yes. And I can't end a conversation with you about the crisis nations without talking about Afghanistan, because that popped up in I think it was this summer, in a newsletter, and it was just this awesome praise report. And would you mind sharing that little bit, that information with our listeners? Because I just thought it was so cool.
Well, we don't get much response from much information from Afghanistan, and we don't have active distribution there. But we got an email from a man and asked for 1,000 booklets that he could share, and we were a little skeptical. I did all I could to verify the address and to make sure, and we checked that again to make sure that it would be delivered. I wasn't even sure it would be received through the postal service or however. And so we sent what he had asked for. And I'd say maybe a couple of months later, we got another email. He thanked us. He said he got them. They've all been distributed, and he wanted us to know that 1,000 booklets were being read and had been distributed in his community. He didn't ask us for another shipment, but he was very he wanted us to know that he had done what he had promised to do, and he had shared them and received them. And 1,000 booklets into a village or a city in Afghanistan is another miracle, and we were just blessed. And like I said, we don't get requests from there. We were able to get a lot of material into Afghanistan through the U.S. military years ago when the U.S. military moved into that area, but not anymore. And so this was just so exciting. And I don't know how he found us. I don't know if he found us. I don't think I remember whether or not he found a booklet or whether he looked online. I don't remember how he found us, but he did. And he looked up the booklet that he wanted on our website and ordered it. We sent it, and he used it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And it's definitely a God story for sure. And, you know, something that really, really broke my heart, though, is I was reading that, like, you guys, World Missionary Press, you ran into some funding shortages this summer, so you couldn't send materials to all the crisis nations that were asking for them. So could you tell me a little bit about some of the hiccups, so to say, you ran into, and maybe how people can help you overcome those?
Well, we have a budget that tells us, you know, what, because we're a grace ministry. We operate on donations, but we do have a budget, a yearly budget, and this is how much we would anticipate getting in based on our last 5 years. So this is how much we can produce, and that's what we try to live in. And we're not the only ones. A lot of ministries and nonprofits have experienced kind of a cutback in their funding, and so we're not surprised at that. But it got to the stage where we had to finally say, okay, we've got to cut back our production a bit from $7 million a month to 6 and then to 5. In one month, we went all the way down to 5 million. And that's still an awful lot of scripture booklets to go out. But we were hoping to go the other way and build up from 7 to 8 and 9. Our next step goal is 10 million. We have the staff. We have the equipment to do. And we have the distribution to do 10 million a month. But so we just sought the Lord, and we did what we could with the funding that we had. We let our people know, our supporters know. And the last 2 months, we closed our fiscal year in September. So the last 2 months, August and September, were above budget. And so we almost closed out the year really, really close to budget. So we're back to 7 million, and we're shooting for 8, 9, 10 million before the end of the year. So the Lord's been faithful. And we did have to cut back sending. We've held back some shipments. They're sitting in our warehouse. But we now have, I've been given word that they're released in terms of I can start arranging for their shipping. We've got one going to Bolivia. We've got one going to Romania that's going to cover a great part of Eastern Europe. We've got one on its way to South Africa that should be received very, very soon. We've got two more ready to go to India. So we've got shipments coming. We've got two going to Equatorial Guinea. These are all ready to start running out the door. So we praise the Lord for that, and we believe that, and it could be, and we are sure that it's a possibility that the Lord is saying, okay, you got to trust me in my time, in my way. I love the souls even more than you do. It's not that he doesn't want them to receive his word, but he has a perfect plan and a perfect time. And trust. And sometimes we just need to learn to trust him and to lean on him and say, okay, this is what you gave us. This is what we will do. And the next day, if you give us more, we'll do more, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes we come to that. We're beginning our 59th year at doing this. And we've seen the Lord be so faithful in all those years. And we've put out more than 2 billion pieces of literature. And we know that this is something that we try to make sure that he knows, that we know, that it's his ministry. It is his. And that we're here to serve and do as he leads. And so sometimes we need these things to kind of just remind us, draw us closer to each other, draw us closer to him, be more aware of the vision and the high calling we have, and of the ultimate purpose in reaching souls. So every once in a while you need that little reminder, and sometimes that's what the Lord does. But we are in a position now to get things, as I said, get things moving, and we're trusting the Lord that he will allow us then to make this next step. And maybe we weren't ready for that next step, and who knows. And so you just wait on the Lord.
Beautifully said. And that wraps up all my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
No, I could add all day, Katie, but
you get the point. Yeah. And I'm going to, let's see, how do we end this recording? I think it's star 9.